my name is John Chung. Thank you for listening to Totally Awesome Films, where I discuss some of the greatest films ever made. Each week, I watch a movie, talk about what I thought of the movie, research a little bit about how it got made, and discuss why I think the film is totally awesome. I'd like to warn listeners that this is a spoiler podcast, so if you have not seen the movie and do not want to be spoiled by information presented here, I recommend that you turn off the podcast, watch the movie, and return after you've seen the movie so that you can better enjoy this show. In this podcast, we're going to talk about the 2012 film Skyfall. Now, I can't believe that I'm at the end of my James Bond retrospective. It's been almost 4 months, 25 movies, and for me, the birth of my very own solo podcast. And it's been an interesting run. I've learned more about the James Bond film franchise than I ever thought I would or ever thought I needed to. But I think doing this podcast has not only made me more knowledgeable about the James Bond franchise, but it's really made me more knowledgeable about cinema in general and about some of the inner workings of Hollywood. So I think doing this has also made me more of an astute movie viewer as well. And I hope you as the listeners have also felt the same way. Now let's get on with the movie. Now this movie came out 4 years after Quantum of Solace, and I have to admit, Quantum of Solace did take a little bit of wind out of my sails. I love Casino Royale, but I was starting to doubt that about Daniel Craig's James Bond legacy. And then when this movie was announced, it really didn't help that the trailers for it didn't exactly excite me. However, this movie was released a few weeks in the UK before it was released in the US, and the buzz was already starting to get really good. I remember the movie holding like a ridiculous 98% on Rotten Tomatoes just from its UK release. So this slowly started to build up my intrigue. My wife and I saw this movie opening night with our friends, and we absolutely loved this movie. I remember placing this in my top 5 favorite Bond movies. Now, afterwards, I have something to share about this movie, which is very interesting. So when I first saw Skyfall at the first time, I didn't place this as my favorite film, but definitely within the top 5. And of course, Casino Royale was my favorite movie. By For Your Eyes Only was my second favorite movie. And I placed this in the top 5 along with, you know, From Russia with Love and The Spy Who Loved Me. Then I saw this movie again. I actually took my father to see it, and it was about a month after I watched it the first time. And I have to admit, I was impressed by how entertained I was at the second viewing. And of course, if a movie can entertain me at the second or third viewing, that always impresses me so much more. So this made me rank this probably as my third favorite Bond film after Casino Royale and For Your Eyes Only. Well, during this retrospective, I saw For Your Eyes Only, and while I love that film, I did think that Skyfall was a little higher. But I clearly liked Casino Royale better than Skyfall. Well, then about a month ago, Skyfall appeared on Netflix streaming, and I saw it again for the third time. And again, I enjoyed it just so much when I watched it the third time. So by this time, I'm absolutely certain that my favorite movie is Casino Royale, and my second favorite Bond movie is Skyfall, with For Your Eyes Only third, and probably From Russia with Love at number 4. Well, this is really weird because I just watched Casino Royale last week and then Quantum of Solace, and now I watched Skyfall again today, and now after seeing those three movies pretty much within a week, I'm kind of starting to wonder if Skyfall is a better film than Casino Royale. Now, this is crazy because I love Casino Royale. It has been my favorite movie since I saw it in the theaters. But I don't know, after watching this, I'm starting to wonder if I had a better time watching Skyfall during this retrospective than I did watching Casino Royale during this retrospective. Now, I love both movies, but now I think these two movies are going to be tied for number one. You know, I think I will overall still rank Casino Royale as my number one favorite film just because I think I had a better cinematic experience when I saw it in the theaters. For now, I'll put Casino Royale first and Skyfall at a close number two. But I think these two movies are clearly neck and neck. I think it might be one of these situations like Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, that whichever one I'm watching at the time becomes my favorite movie. So you know, if I'm watching Skyfall, Skyfall will probably be my favorite. If I'm watching Casino Royale, that'll probably be my favorite. But regardless, knowing that the top two movies are both Daniel Craig movies, to me, tells me that this absolutely solidifies Daniel Craig, who is clearly now my favorite 007 James Bond actor. So in 2008, just after Quantum of Solace, they announced a third Daniel Craig movie was going to be made. But they were not sure if this was going to be a sequel to Quantum of Solace, thereby making this an official trilogy. Even before post-production ended on Quantum of Solace, they already secured Sam Mendes as director. And this movie was supposed to come out in 2010, but there were minor delays, of course, when in 2010 when MGM filed for bankruptcy. In fact, MGM was going to auction off the James Bond franchise to the highest bidder, with Sony and numerous other companies bidding for the Bond franchise. But in 2010, they were able to pull out of bankruptcy and able to keep the franchise, although it should be said that Sony now is helping distribute this movie. In August 2011, Ian announced that the 23rd Bond film would be called Carte Blanche, and would be based on a 007 novel by Jeffrey Deaver. And this movie would have had Bond going to Afghanistan and then Africa, and it was supposed to feature both Moneypenny and Mary Goodnight. Remember the Bond girl from The Man with the Golden Gun. However, within a month, Ian announced that it would not have anything to do with Carte Blanche. So we really don't know what happened between negotiations between Ian and Jeffrey Deaver. Presumably, it did not go too well. So in October 2011, they announced that the 23rd film would officially be called Skyfall. Now, surprisingly, this had a much smaller budget than Quantum of Solace. In 2008, Quantum of Solace had a budget of over $200 million, while Skyfall, 4 years later, had a budget of less than $150 million. And since this movie was going to come out in 2012, this would mark the 50th anniversary of the James Bond film franchise. So I think the producers, as well as the directors and the audience, were expecting a very good movie. Now, first of all, the movie starts with a very clever moment. We do not get the classic gun barrel scene, but we get a Sam Mendes artistic version of it. You get the music, the James Bond classic music, and we get a hallway which serves as kind of a surrogate for the gun barrel. And we see a small, distant James Bond calmly walking toward us, and then he draws his gun. Voila, it is the gun barrel sequence. Now, why is this so clever? Because Sam Mendes is playing with us. He is playing with our expectations. He is smart enough to know that we want classic James Bond cliches. We love the James Bond cliches. And he leads us to think that he is not going to give it to us, but that he is going to do a deconstruction. But, as you know, this movie is not a deconstruction. It is an absolute construction of the franchise. And after multiple viewings, we now know that this movie is pretty much going to end with the start of the classic James Bond franchise. And now that we've sort of almost let go of our expectations, thinking all those cliches are going to be deconstructed, those scenes are so much sweeter when Sam Mendes gives them to us. So all these classic moments that we get the new Q, we get a new Walter PPK, we get an Aston Martin with the computerized machine guns, we get a new male M, we get a Moneypenny, we get the old M office with Moneypenny in the front, in the waiting room. All these are awesome, and when we get it, it is awesome because we're not expecting them. Now the movie opens, and Sam Mendes gives us a save the cat moment. When he sees his fellow agent shot, James Bond is more worried about the fellow agent and saving his life than the actual mission. He actually cares that his fellow agent is hurt. And by that sympathy, he wins us over. Now we see James Bond as the hero. And it's such a simple moment, very effective. But after that scene, I realized that I don't think any of the past Bonds have really had a save the cat moment. So I think Sam Mendes, and as well as the script, was very clever to do this. And this moves us into arguably the single best opening teaser in the history of the Bond franchise. Now, I know you'll probably make the same mistake I did and mention, well, what about the construction scene in Casino Royale? But oddly, when I saw it the second time, I realized that the Madagascar construction scene in Casino Royale occurs after the teaser. So it is officially not a pre-credit teaser scene. However, I will concede that the two, the Madagascar construction scene and this opening teaser, are two of the best action sequences in the franchise, and arguably two of the best action sequences in all of modern American Hollywood cinema. In this action sequence, we get James Bond riding a motorcycle across the rooftops of Istanbul. And, of course, what makes the scene so good is people are actually doing this. This is not a special effect. Now, this scene is apparently based on a scene they had originally planned for License to Kill, where they were going to motorcycle across the Great Wall. However, the Chinese government was not being very cooperative with the filming, so they moved that filming over to Mexico. And they were thinking of doing that here, but they decided to that Istanbul would be a much more exotic locale. And then Bond jumps on a train, and we get an awesome little fight scene. And then we get one of the coolest little 2-second memes in the entire franchise. A moment so good that they even used it multiple times in the trailer. And you know what I'm talking about. It's a moment where James Bond is in the back of one of the trains. He slams a crane onto the passenger boxcar. He runs up the crane and jumps into the boxcar and almost loses his balance, catches his balance, and then coolly adjusts his cufflinks. And that is just such a cool scene. And then we get something that really surprises us. We actually get James Bond's death scene. And by the time we get to the music montage, we're exhilarated, we're exhausted, and we are totally invested into this movie. Apparently in interviews, Sam Mendes said that he took inspiration from Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy, and he said he wanted to evoke the same mood as those three movies. And which is kind of ironic because Christopher Nolan has gone on to say that his Batman was inspired by the James Bond films. So here you have Bond inspiring Batman who inspires Bond. So that's pretty cool. And then throughout the movie, by the middle of the movie, we move to Hong Kong. And we see the cinematic brilliance of Sam Mendes and his cinematographer, Roger Deakins, who was incidentally nominated for an Academy Award for Best Cinematography. And James Bond follows a sniper. And a really cool moment that is added here is when he's chasing the sniper and he jumps onto the bottom of the elevator. And we see James Bond holding on. And something really cool happens where we see James Bond kind of struggle. And it's so simple, but it's very effective. And I think the scene makes him seem so heroic because we see him overcome his difficulty. Remember, Roger Moore was able to hang on to a rope of a flying blimp over an hour as it flew from Silicon Valley to San Francisco, and he didn't even get tired or struggle. However, both of us would struggle and get tired after dangling for only a few minutes, and that's why this scene is so effective and makes Bond seem much more heroic for his tenacity. Then, after observing the sniper, he has a fist fight with him, and not only is this a very gritty and realistic fight scene, but we get it in a just gorgeous silhouette. And of course, it is Hong Kong, so it's filled with these beautiful video advertisements, and we get this haunting video image of corporate logos, Chinese characters, and a giant floating jellyfish in the background during this violent fist fight. And the whole scene is just so beautifully shot. And then we meet Severine, who I have to say is probably one of the most beautiful actresses to play a Bond girl in a Bond franchise film. She's played by French actress Bernice Marlot, who is French. Her mother is French, and her father is half Chinese and half Cambodian. So she is a half Asian. She's very haunting, and her death is very tragic. She's very memorable, one of the most memorable Bond girls. She may have originally been cast as Rachel Weisz. As you remember, the lady that played Evie Carnahan in The Mummy. And she was recently in Oz the Great and Powerful as Evanora. And she's also been in The Bourne Legacy. She was in The Fountain. And she's a great working actor in Hollywood, been in numerous roles. And Rachel Weisz was originally signed for this film. And I just can only imagine that she was meant to play Severine. Well, here's something interesting. She's also Daniel Craig's wife, and they've been married for 3 years, and she has been on the set of Skyfall while they were filming. So we don't know what happened, but somehow she did not end up taking a role in this movie. We do get Javier Bardem, as the main villain in this movie. Interestingly enough, Kevin Spacey was originally considered for the role. That would have been so weird and interesting. I think it's fascinating to think how he would have played this. He would have played it very differently than Javier Bardem. I don't know, it's just interesting to think. And keep in mind, Sam Mendes did direct Kevin Spacey in American Beauty, so there is that connection. They had worked with each other in the past, so it's very possible Kevin Spacey was almost the villain in this movie. Javier Bardem plays him in a very creepy, very psychotic way, and is obviously channeling a sort of Christopher Nolan's Heath Ledger Joker, which is ironic, because in 2008, these were two of the greatest villains ever put on film. One, which is Heath Ledger's Joker, and two, was Anton in No Country for Old Men, played by Javier Bardem. Now, I missed this reference when I saw it the first time, but apparently the look of the villain, Silva, was based on WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. And if you see their pictures, the hair looks exactly the same. And Julian Assange and WikiLeaks became infamous in 2010 when it published top-secret documents about the U.S. military. Now, you can see the parallel. Silva leaks top-secret information that puts secret agents in danger. Now, remember when I discussed M in Casino Royale and I said that M is an almost completely different character in the Daniel Craig films than she was in the previous Pierce Brosnan films? Well, here is more evidence to the fact that they actually may be two different characters, even though they're played consecutively and played by the same actor. In this movie, she is also given a name in the film. Although it does not make it onto the film, it is there. And it's a different name from the name given in the GoldenEye script. Remember, in the GoldenEye script, I mentioned that her name was Barbara Maudsley. Well, in this script, M's name is Olivia Mansfield. And here's a little trivia about M. Ian Fleming called the chief of MI6 M as a reference to the actual first head of British Secret Service named George Mansfield. So the name Olivia Mansfield for Judy Gents' M is very appropriate here. Incidentally, Ian Fleming actually did give M an actual name in his book, The Man with the Golden Gun, and named him Miles Messervy. Now, when James Bond is taking M into hiding, and he opens up the garage to his car, and the car is an Aston Martin, I remember the theater cheering, and I almost got on my feet and cheered as well. And it's almost like we haven't seen this car since Goldfinger. But we have seen this car. It's practically been in all the last four movies, and even the car in The Living Daylights was an Aston Martin. However, it is Sam Mendes' directorial brilliance that he creates a build-up and then a satisfying payoff out of something so simple. And then we get to Scotland, we get to Skyfall, and we meet the character of Kincaid. And apparently, they really wanted Sean Connery to be this character. And Sam Mendes has publicly admitted that he really did consider Sean Connery for this role and was going to ask Sean Connery if he would be in it. However, he was concerned that this might take the audience right out of the movie and ultimately decided against it, and never approached Sean Connery. Now, as fun as that would have been, I do agree with Mendes. I think it would have been really weird, and it would have indeed pulled me out of the movie. And it even had the potential to turn the whole scene into kind of a one-line joke. And Albert Finney does a great job here as Kincaid. Now, another cool thing was the introduction of the new Moneypenny. I didn't see this coming. It completely surprised me, and I loved it. And I like the fact that she used to be a field agent. And I like the fact that she used to be a standard Bond girl. And of course, there's going to be this debate, did they or didn't they? And I'm still going to maintain that they didn't. But I hope we never really find out, because that makes it much more fun. Equally cool is the introduction of Ray Fiennes as the new M, Gareth Mallory. So, you know, what's old is new, and we are now at the beginning of the entire franchise. And I think what's great is that we thought Sam Mendes was going to give us a deconstruction, and instead he gave us a complete construction. And that's new. That's a surprise, and it is very satisfying. It's a brilliant move by Sam Mendes. And we get the end of the film, we get the classic gun barrel sequence. And now Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, and Skyfall had become sort of an origin trilogy for the Bond franchise character. We sort of feel that all the past Bond adventures, Dr. No, Goldfinger, Spy Who Loved Me, will now occur sometime in the future from this point on. It's a brilliant play. It's very clever, and it is very satisfying. Now, we all know how well this movie did. It is the top money-making Bond film. It was the first Bond to break $1 billion, $1.1 billion. It is the eighth most financially successful movie in the history of cinema, behind Avatar, Titanic, Avengers, Harry Potter, Iron Man 3, Transformers 3, and The Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. It made more money than Dark Knight. It made more money than any of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. So we are talking a mega success, and I think it deserved to be. It also was nominated for 5 Academy Awards, Best Song, Best Score, Best Sound Mixing, Best Sound Editing. Apparently now there are 2 categories, and Best Cinematography. It was the first Bond film to be nominated in 30 years. Free Rides only had 1 nomination for Best Song. And it was the first Bond film to win an Academy Award since Thunderball. It is the only Bond film to actually win 2 Academy Awards. It won for Best Original Song and Best Editing. Now, it's a shame because I really think this film should have been nominated for Best Picture as well as Sam Mendes for Best Director. There is so much that this film did for the 007 franchise. It made James Bond relevant again. It made him cool. And it made it cool to be a Bond fan. And furthermore, this completely solidifies Daniel Craig's legacy as one of the best Bonds. Since the success of this movie, he has already signed a contract to do 2 more Bond films, and possibly even more. And I think a lot of people are hoping he does do more. It not only places Bond back in the big leagues, it places him in the small elite class of billionaire films. And furthermore, it has the whole world totally amped up for the next Bond. That ends this podcast. Now, if you like this podcast, please go to our Facebook page, Totally Awesome Films, and like the page. Please go to our iTunes page, Totally Awesome Films, and subscribe. It is totally free, and you can download the new episodes and automatically download them onto your iPod so that you can listen to them in rush hour traffic commuting to and from work. Also, if you have time, please leave us a 5-star rating. This helps us increase our visibility on the iTunes search engines and helps us show up more on those search engines. So this ends our podcast. Thank you so much, and I hope you had a great time.